Welcome to Solder Smoke, where we talk about all things electronic and geeky. We meet on Echolink and swap ideas related to workbench and radio projects. If you have any questions about this podcast or suggestions for future casts, send a note to soldersmoke@yahoo.com. Our webpage is www.geocities.com/soldersmoke. As always, have fun, melt solder, and pass along your ideas. So let's get started. Yeah, M0HBR, KL7R. Hey, Bill, just reading about time machines.
Excellent, excellent. I'm sitting here with a cold in London, so you'll probably notice some audio distortion. I was over on Slashdot reading about Google's attempt to take over the Internet. Very interesting. Time machine sounds even better. I missed you the last few times here. I checked on to Echolink, so I was happy to see you this morning. And I hope you noticed that the fan mail is pouring in on Solder Smoke. Well, one fan mail anyway. I thought it was kind of cool that we heard from a fellow who listens to us while jogging through Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's sort of a time machine, Mike. Here we are. It's early in the morning in London. It's early evening in it's 9 o'clock at night where you are. And someday, probably in the next few days, our friend will be jogging at midday through Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening to this. So first, a big shout out to the guy in Tulsa. Thanks for our very first Solder Smoke fan mail. Really appreciate it. And so I think this is, we're in a bit of a time machine right now, Mike. KL7R, M0HBR, London.
Oh, that's too funny. So you got a chest cold there. Yeah, he swung by and said hi, and pretty interesting fellow himself. He swung by Echolink about 3 hours ago and visited.
Oh, great. I hope you recorded them. You can splice them into the show here. That'd be great. Yeah, let's see. Well, technical topics this morning. My son and I are getting into building a crystal radio. Got a little bit of it done yesterday, breadboard style. You got the LC network in there. We'll probably start out with a regular diode, but then move back to the crystal and the cat's whisker. I have a chunk of galena here, so we'll do it the right way. And I've been working on my 20 amplifier for my 20-meter DSV rig. It seems to be working out okay. And let's see, what else? Oh, my son made a discovery yesterday. He was rummaging through the junk box and he found the old baby monitor that we used to use to listen to him. And he turned it on and he heard people talking. He couldn't figure it out at first. And suddenly it dawned on him that some of the neighbors were on frequency. So I had to give him the warning about illegal eavesdropping, but he thought the whole thing was very cool, so kind of a good start to shortwave listening. KL7R, M0HBR.
All right, that's great. I figure if it's transmitted, they're violating your RF space, so unless it's encrypted, they want you to listen to it. There's some receivers allow you to tune down to that 49 meg band, so that's cool. I do not have a cell phone. They have a cell phone blocked over here. You can't even buy those kind of receivers over here. So that's great on the shortwave receiver there. That was my first introduction to ham radio. Was a TV repairman in downtown Anchorage. I was working on my Boy Scout merit badge, and he says, "Here's a 1N34A diode, and go for it." And I did, and I really was fascinated with that. I never did try the Galena thing. I've read about foxhole radios, where you can use a Galena or a side of a razor blade or the edge of two razor blades and the core of a graphite pencil as a detector. Oh, that's great. Hopefully you've got some good, strong AM broadcast signals over there. I bet your shortwave is so strong. I bet you could, with proper choice of tuning inductor and capacitor at the input, you could pick up some shortwave. That's great. Your son's interested in that. Could never get my son interested. He was more interested in computer games and what all. Yeah. So I let off the key before I got a chance to say that he swung by, and his name was Brad, and his WA5PSA, and I just wanted to say hi to you, Brad, from Solder Smoke, from Bill and I, and it's great to have an audience. That's funny. Oh yeah, so the time machine, what is that? That's I'm reading here. The time machine is let's see, am I still talking? Yeah. It's from Expanded Spectrum Systems. And basically what it is you take it allows you to record audio off of an HF rig and save it to a tape recorder and then play the audio back into an RF modulator. It takes IQ audio. IQ and it does a basically direct conversion or IQ whatever. It receives the audio and saves it to a file off of HF, and then you can take that tape recording of the audio and re-modulate it and transmit it back out to an HF receiver, so you can do it for a show for a ham club. About the timeout, Bill, back to you. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, okay, Mike. Interesting. Speaking of audio, yours, I hate to say it, but it sounds a little bit scratchy on peaks. Just when you're getting up to audio peaks, when I'm watching the meter here, when you're getting over to the far right, it gets kind of a buzz on it a little bit. You know, it's hard to talk about audio distortion when we're going through all these digital, analog to digital conversions here, but it just sounds a little bit like a buzz at the peaks. So, to use the old terminology from the old regular old HF days, I think you might be hitting it a little bit too hard there, old man. I don't know, but the time machine sounds interesting. Yeah, you wouldn't have to worry about the band being open. You could probably use that to really freak some people out. Create one of the famous long delayed echoes. I'm sure you know about that. It started back in the 30s. Guys claimed that they would transmit, and then 10, 15, 20 seconds later, they would hear their voice coming back to them from the ether. And this has sparked all kinds of theories about the signal going out and being sent back from someplace in space, and all kinds of, I think, UFO alien theories were also discussed. I don't think you ever really got to the bottom of it, but yeah, you might have a long delay echo machine there, Mike. Yeah, the crystal radios. The first, I got my start in ham radio by stumbling across a club in suburban New York called the Crystal Radio Club. And I think it was named that way because it got its start when that's what people were building. It got its start when the crystal radios were cutting edge. And I built one, and you know, I used the same diode that you just mentioned. But I thought the real fun was years later when I actually used the Galena and the cat's whisker, just like they really did in the old days. And you could get the Galena and the cat's whisker from Antique Electronic Supply out there in Arizona. For just a few bucks, they'll send you one with a nice little mount and a little spring-loaded piece of bronze phosphor wire for the whisker. And you really do have to kind of poke around on that chunk of crystal till you find sort of the sweet spot. And it's a really, really cool radio experience. I really recommend it. It's much better than using the little factory made crystal, because you get a, you really get a sense of how they did it in the old days. Not only that, when you think about it, you're forming your own PN junctions there, making your own diode out of a chunk of rock. Yeah. So yeah, get yourself some galena. I never did the razor blade thing, but I've read about it. And I actually at one point had a kit for building the Foxhole radio, but I never got around to it. But yeah, a lot of fun. Well, the baby monitors, you know, there's a whole thing about baby monitors there. There was one guy on the QRPL list, a friend of mine who wrote up a kind of a radio novel about Frank Jones and the baby monitors, and converting baby monitors to for use on 6 meters was a big part of the whole thing. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, Mike, those baby monitors cause a lot of trouble, because what happens very often is the parents forget that they're on, and they get discarded, and they get, you know, they're very often discarded and end up under the bed somewhere, which is a bad place to have an open transmitter. So some of these, some of the nastier, geeky kids in neighborhoods have discovered that, you know, if you tune around on these frequencies in the evening hours, you can get some pretty X-rated programs from the neighbors. So, gotta watch those baby monitors. Let's see. A couple things. Oh yeah, you sent me the URL for that sweep generator or spectrum analyzer using the 555 chip. Man, that guy, JF1OZL, that is a really fantastic website. I've been looking at that for years. And I looked at the circuit you mentioned. That's a really interesting circuit. You could do that. You could do all kinds of things with that. But I was even thinking that you could make a pan adapter, you know, and hook it up from have your receiver or the IF or something go into the internet thing, and you could have like a video, you know, a visual display of what's on the band. That would be great fun. I like that website so much that I downloaded the Japanese character set just so that I could look at it. It looks a lot better. I recommend it. Get the Japanese character set, and you can see the site looks a lot better with it there. Yeah, say hi to Brad out there in Tulsa, and thanks for our very first Son of Smoke. back to you, Mike. My voice is. I have to take a sip of the coffee here, and hopefully it'll help me with my voice. KL7R in Juneau, M0HBR London.
Oh, that's great, Bill. M0HBR, KL7R. I am a little hot here. Let me diddle this here. Japanese, but I didn't. I just found out he speaks German too, so that's amazing. Native Japanese, and then does German and English in his spare time. That's just awesome. The galena thing, I had at one point a 4-inch piece of core. I was a core drill helper for a while. That was almost pure sphalerite, which is a lead zinc. Tin, lead zinc silver, I think, core. And I had a little 4-inch piece of that core, and I don't know what happened to it, but it was almost pure. It would have been great to try. I'll have to dig that out. My mom was a rock hound, and she used to have galena all over the place. I think galena crystals are native here in Southeast, and I bet I can find a piece. I'll have to keep my eye open. Is that the black crystals, the black, you know, maybe like dodecahedron type crystals? They're weird looking. I think that's the galena. I'll have to get me some and try that out. Let's see. What else have I been doing? Oh, I was just reading about this time machine. It's basically like the binaural receiver I was talking about, and you basically take the wideband output from a binaural receiver on a fixed frequency, and you record the output, and then you save that output to a file, and then you play it back and mix it up with a local oscillator to wherever you want to transmit on, and so you can have 80 kilohertz of a the plus sideband and the minus sideband. You can have 80 kilohertz worth of any given band, and then you can replay that on any other given band you like. I have all the pieces to do this, so I may have to do that for one of the ham clubs coming up here. I think that'd be cool. What else have I been doing? I built a return loss bridge, a 6 dB hybrid, like on page 7.23 of experimental methods. Basically, it's like the Talo RF resistance bridge, but instead of having an LED detector, it's got scope out, and so you can listen to the scope. Back to you. I got a short timeout on this thing. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, you got to adjust the timing there. I've got mine adjusted for what we used to call old buzzard transmissions on 75 meters. So I could ramble on endlessly here, Mike. You'll have to, maybe we might want to adjust this. While you were talking, I pulled out the Galena crystal, and I'm looking at it, and they've got it mounted in kind of a chunk of lead, and then the Galena is actually there. It looks kind of gray, but it kind of sparkles as you move it around in the light. And they've got a neat little arrangement with the phosphor bronze, this cat whisker. And of course, this was all just developed experimentally long before they had any notion of the physics behind it. So they were making p-n junctions before they even knew that there was p or n or what was going on in there. That came, of course, much, much later. But it's a fun technology to play with, and it's probably one of those things that all true radio amateurs should do at one point or another. Try to poke some phosphor bronze into a Galena crystal and look for the RF in there. yeah, well, fine on the return loss bridge. There was recently an article in QST about a computer-based, sound card-based bridge circuit that allowed you to measure complex impedances, and I thought that was really neat. I'm reluctant to start getting too much into homebrewing test gear, because there's a limited amount of time that you can do for homebrewing, and when you start spending it all on building the test gear, you're cutting into the time that you're using to build the rigs. So I kind of have a rule that I buy the test gear and build the radios. But that, but as you look around the shack, there's always stuff that you can't really buy, and you end up building it. So I have a little audio generator that I rigged up a while back that I can sometimes, when I need to test the DSB transmitters, I need some audio just to inject into the input. So I built a little audio oscillator into a little box. I can just plug it into the mic in on any of these rigs and get all the output I need to test everything. And of course the RF probe that people built, really an indispensable piece of gear. That's important. I've been looking at HF solid state amplifier circuits, and I really like that. There's an HF 100 watt HF amplifier in the latest edition of QST. It's got my attention. I want to build something similar. I was interested. They did it with 12 volts. Usually those kind of circuits, they use 24 volts. But these guys did it with 12 volts. So I'm taking a look at that. I don't necessarily need 100 watt, but But heck, if you can build it 100 watts just as easily as building it for 30, why not? So I might be doing something like that. What I'd like to do is build one amplifier block, and then just have it there, and then all the other rigs could just feed into it and be switched into it. I wouldn't have to worry about building finals and struggling with amplifiers every time I built a new rig. It's kind of a modular concept here. It had all kinds of PIC hardware in there for SWR measurement and power reduction and final protection and everything. I think I'd skip all that and just stick to the simple analog stuff. So we'll see. But an interesting article there. Yeah, that guy, JF1OZL, amazing fella, really interesting, and a great way of explaining things. You know you're really good when he can explain it. He's coming from Japanese, working in his second or third language, and he explains some of this technical stuff better than some of our native speakers of English, technical experts, and so it's really a credit to him. Other projects here, let's see. I got a new gel cell battery from I think I got it from what was it? One of the surplus here. I have a catalog here somewhere. One of the surplus vendors out there on the West Coast, Ocean State Electronics, I think, sent me a new 12-volt gel cell, and I'm charging it with the Volkswagen solar panel. It's held by suction cups onto the window of the shack. here's a fortuitous discovery, Mike. You like this? That the windows here in England don't open up and down. They open up kind of outward, like little doors. And the shack faces to the southwest. And this time of year, the sun is very low, as you know, there in Alaska, the very sun is very low in the south. Anyway, I discovered that I can come up with a very crude way of tracking the sun and keeping the solar rays directly on the panel just by periodically closing the window a little bit. I open it up all the way out when the sun's first coming into the shack, and during the course of the day I just close it a little bit, and it's a sort of an Armstrong method of solar tracking. very satisfying, and it just trickle charges the battery. And little by little, I'm building up the voltage on the thing. Kind of fun. Powered by Volkswagen. Back to you, KL7R in Juneau, M0HBR.
All right. Let me adjust my audio level here a little bit, Bill. I got it set about right there. I have to work to make it go yellow. Well, cool. That sounds awesome there. I was just looking at Ocean State. I was looking at some capacitors they had. They had those, 10 to 350 picofarad transmit, old receiver capacitors for $15. And I was thinking about getting a handful of them. Finding the gel cell, I wonder what that must have cost to get a gel cell mailed to you from the U.S. to England. I've been wanting one, and and if it's not too high, I'll go ahead and order one. I made a deal with a wife. I bought her one of these wall screen TVs, and for her office, and so I get an equivalent amount of money for ham radio. So I'm going to be set up here for toys here if I don't blow it all in one batch here pretty soon. I'm pretty looking forward to that. Fine on the HF amp. I did that. I told you about that. Built a 100 watt amp that would get 100 watts out with 2 watts of drive. It's still sitting on the shelf here. It's basically out of a power strip out of an old Motorola HF radio I found. It killed my FT817. So I've got my 817 in a box ready to go back to Yaesu. And that's going to be part of where the money goes. What else? The breadboard. I built a breadboarding. You know the where you have the little where you punch in wires and you can put in dips and whatever that into a breadboard. I was given a really nice breadboarding lash up that had a bunch of empty breadboards, and so I set that all up and put power supplies on it. I put the power supply out of a Dell laptop, which is like 20 volts, and I used that. It's nice DC, and I made a 5 volt, 12 volt, and an LM 317 variable, and got that all set up to actually start building stuff. I was looking at the one site that had the real nice transistor tester kit, and they just announced a power meter frequency counter kit that's going to be coming out, and I'm thinking about getting both of them. I'd really like to, I think it's M3 Electronics, something like that. I'd really like to get that power meter. I have a heck of a time converting oscilloscope readings into dBm. I dropped out being a member of QST because I had no money. I probably rejoin here, but I didn't. I haven't gotten the most recent QST. Can you tell me more about that that complex impedance sound card software? I'm really interested in that. That's the kind of thing. You're supposed to be able to determine complex impedance with nothing but a couple of resistors and voltage and current measurements. I've read that. It seems to me like with an SWR bridge, it's hard to tell. Like I don't understand these like that 6 dB return loss bridge. It basically all it tells you is the SWR. It doesn't tell you whether it's inductive or capacitive or whether it's it tells you the. The impedance. It tells you that the SWR is high or low. With a given SWR, an SWR of 5, the impedance can either be high or it can be low versus your expected 50 ohms. And I don't see how you could tell the complex impedance just from return loss. I'd have to study that. Back to you, Bill. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R in Juneau, M0HBR. Well, I've my magazines aren't really that organized here, and I'm just flipping through the ones that I have close at hand. I don't know. Let me see. Wait a second. Hold on. Might be in the October. Yeah. All right. Okay. Let me get a photo here. It's in the October 2005 issue. It says here, a low-cost automatic antenna automatic impedance bridge by George R. Sieber, WP9LVI. I'll read you a little bit about it. Let's see. It's 36. There's probably a lot of stuff on the web on it, too. Let's see. A PC, a sound card, and some software team up to make a powerful LCR meter. Let's see. The concept of impedance is fundamental to understanding and utilizing electrical components and circuits. There are numerous instruments available to measure impedance, including the ubiquitous ohm meter for resistors, resistance bridges, AC bridges for capacitors and inductors, automatic LCR bridges, and vector impedance meters. Many of the more sophisticated instruments are beyond the realm of the average amateur radio experimenter. Hopefully, this project will remedy that situation, as well as remove excuses for not measuring those accumulated pieces of stored away, those accumulated parts stored away in old junk boxes. While working on another project, curve tracing with a PC, I hit upon the idea of using a PC with a sound card to measure impedance automatically. After reviewing some theory, writing a bit of software, and playing around with various circuits, the project was born. It turned out to be much more than I had originally hoped for, yielding a wide range, low-cost impedance measuring system. Since it's based on LMS, least mean square theory, It's called an LMS impedance bridge or meter. More in-depth technical details about this project are covered in a separate article in QEX. In this article, I will mainly cover how to build your own version and how to get it up and running. It's a project that should appeal to almost anyone involved in electronics. All you need to do is build a simple circuit described, connect it to your computer sound card, and run the program. This impedance bridge allows you to automatically measure inductors, capacitors, resistors, input impedances, audio transformers, negative resistances, and more at a wide range of audio frequencies. It has outstanding capabilities and accuracy. Let's see. And we've got a little circuit there. It's a very simple little chip. And anyway, very, very interesting article. And see, I think he's got a website. Yeah. Just do a search for Steber, S-T-E-B-E-R, and he's got it's at the AARR website. I don't know if it's the members only portion. I'm not sure, but they've also got the software and the binaries there. But it looks like a really interesting article. I mean that the hardware is just one little chip and a couple of resistors, and that's what goes into the sound card. It looks really, really neat. This looks like your kind of a project, Mike, KL7R, M0HBR.
This is pretty cool. I'll have to take a look here, see if I can find the software and everything here. He's got an email, but I'll read this, and if I can't, I'll Steber, S-T-E-B-E-R. I'll go look at the AARL site and see what happens there. I'm gonna turn it back to you, Bill, and do a little digging. That's got me interested. That's the kind of thing that I'm really interested in, and I thought should be possible. And sounds like he's all over it. Sounds like both of those items are really here. He's got in the notes. Low cost automatic impedance bridge, QST, October 2005. He's got Circuit Seller magazine, tracing current and voltage, an application of the LMS adaptive algorithm for digital AC bridge, IEEE transactions on measurements, negative resistance load canceller, helps drive heavy loads. I can't imagine what negative resistance is. I have a negative resistance converter to avoid oscillations. I thought negative resistance caused oscillations. Well, this is fascinating. I'm going to have to check this one out, Bill. If I can't find it, I may have to ask you for some more details there. Maybe you could pass on some more details if I can't find it on the AARL site. Anyway, back to you. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. All right, well, listen, I know it's about time for me to go, as you can hear. And I don't know if I'm going to make it to work today. I'll have to see. But, good digging on that. And I guess the cider smoke episode has proven to be useful this morning because we've got you on that project. That's good. One other thing I was going to mention, I've been doing some real DXing here this morning, in recent mornings. Saturn is up in the sky in the early morning hours. I've had my little 4.5-inch telescope out and got a beautiful view of Saturn the other morning. So there's some real DX. I'll let you go, Mike. Thanks for another good good episode of Solder Smoke. And let me know if you need any additional information on the impedance bridge. 7-3 for now. Have a good evening, and we'll talk again soon. So closes another edition of Solder Smoke, 7-3 from London, KL7R, M0HBR.
All right, Bill. I looked on the AARL site, and it shows the QEX article, which is what I have. So hopefully that'll be what I need. 7-3 for today. Take care of yourself. If you don't go to work, have some brandy and take care of that throat. Always a pleasure, Bill. Next time. M0HBR. with solder smoke, KL7R.